Edwards food giant, the Meat People.
Good morning, Rick.
Well, good morning, David. Good morning, Roger.
Hey, Rick.
Hope you all had a great last week, yes, and sir. All those have got some good time away. And, you know, listening to Ryan Silverfield, which we played some of that yesterday too, reminds me that he cannot go to Edwards Food Giant.
Why is that?
Because they have lots of loaves. They've got loaves of bread. They got loaves of every lot of stuff.
Bada boom. Yeah. Bada boom.
Well done, Richard.
Well, anyway. You know, I don't know about
you. He can buy the meat. He can buy the meat. Just don't get the loaves.
That's right. You know, it's a unique situation, Rick, because, you know, we hired him back in November, right? Or was it December? We hired him.
Early December.
So
I think, yeah.
We have had this transition, you know. Oh my gosh, it's taken forever just to get, you know, we have a thousand we have a thousand press conferences that, you know, he's speaking all over the place, he's making appearances. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh my gosh, let's just play football. Let's see what you can do. He's gotta be tired of talk. He's gotta be just exhausted of having to get up there. But this is what we do. We need the content. That's why we have these things, and he's been nice to do every appearance, to do everything. And so now I'm sure he is like, man, let's just get me out on the field where I don't have to talk to people. And we can really, if we're talking about something, we're talking about real action. He had that in the spring a little bit, but even then, you know, it's spring. It's not the fall. So,
well, think about it, guys. Randy and I don't think there's ever a day when in 3 hours Razorback football doesn't come up at least once. Even in the heat of basketball season, even during Razorback baseball season, even during the summer, it might just be one call, might just be one text, or it might be the whole show is about Razorback football.
Yeah.
You play 12 games. They last about 3.5 hours each.
Yeah.
That's about 40 hours. We talk all year about what happens in 40 hours, which is a normal work week for most people. 40 hours. Can you imagine most people talking all year about 1 week of their existence?
That's
what Ryan Silverfield is called to do.
Yeah.
And yet those guys are paid an enormous amount of money, and that's what they're supposed to do. And so the whole year they are trying to fire you up for what they're about to do, but then comes the responsibility of doing it. And the thing I do like is that I think he's done all the things that need to be done.
I agree.
And he's taken that responsibility. You know, I read in a Hogs Illustrated magazine had a big article about Silverfield, which you would expect in their preseason issue. Do you know he's got every day scheduled through February?
Yeah.
In other words, I don't know if you use a planner. I still use a planner.
Right,
I'm old-fashioned. Write down the things. That means his planner is done through February. And he's got everything on there, what time practices are, this, that. I'm sure he's got his press conferences every Monday at 12 o'clock. He's got all that in there. He is so well organized. But the other thing is these guys have to execute. One thing he said yesterday when he was talking about the quarterback battle, I was pleasantly surprised by how complimentary of A.J. Hill he was, because I think all of us just assume K.J. Jackson's going to be the quarterback.
Yeah.
To me, I don't care which one's the quarterback as long as they don't turn the ball over. And so he was talking about A.J. Hill, and he says, well, and he likes Jackson too, but he said one of the advantages Hill has is he knows the offense. He's had it. He was with it last year. He's with it in the spring and everything else. But he said it's one thing to know it. It's something else to execute it. And so that's the whole thing. You can plan and plan and plan and plan and plan, and then one thing goes wrong, and it messes up a lot of your plans.
Back on the point about the coverage, think about this, guys, that I am getting ready to, you know, Roger knows this, and Rick, you may be aware, like, I made it my mind 15 years ago that I, before the buzz, I thought, you know what, I'm in for Channel 7. I've worked with Channel 7 for 30 years now. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go to every game away and home and I'm going to do coverage for radio and TV. So I did, of course, the worst era of Razorback football in 100 years. That's what literally the worst era in 120 years. But think about this, Rick. I leave now. You know, Oakland is sponsoring me going in early with Trey Schaap, where we do like, hey, this is what this town's about. You know, just sort of give me a feel. So I'm there from Thursday through Sunday for 12 weeks. And then the sponsors, you got that sponsor, Oakland, do that. And then you got all the sponsors that sponsor the Razorback coverage and the Razorback games. The economic engine that college football, college sports, but especially college football.
No doubt.
And like you said, we're talking about it around. It's just amazing how Americans love their football, NFL too, and college, but how it affects us. It affects it. It trickles down to us and our listeners, because our listeners love talking about it, even though we may not be great this year, but people are interested. At least they hope we can do well. But it's just funny how much money is involved. You see that at the SEC Media Days. You can just see how much is tied to it.
It's amazing the grip sports has on Americans. It's amazing. And I think you could take it in almost a reverse when the World Cup was here. The World Cup holds the world's fascination.
Yeah.
It does not hold America's fascination.
Right.
America was a great host, and what was the best thing that came out of it? Was all these foreigners coming to America saying, wow, this place is great.
Yeah.
Our leaders are telling us they're no good. They're wrong. This is a great place. That's the best thing. But did Americans all of a sudden sign up for soccer? No. But it was kind of a nice bridge. But it's all about football. NFL's in camps. Oh, the colleges are about to start. You're right that there's this fascination with the game, and it's hard to describe why. I've got that with baseball, and I know why. Because when I was 9 years old, I saw my first major league game, and I was hooked. And so that is still deeply ingrained in me. Sometimes I wish it wasn't, particularly when the Orioles don't play as well as I like them to. And then they trade their starting catcher. So anyway, I sometimes wish it wasn't. And I'm sure there are Razorback fans who are at times say, I'm just not going anymore.
Right.
And then their team wins. You win a game. It's like, oh, and this new coach, and gosh, Arkansas won a game they weren't supposed to. Yeah, I think I'm going back. I've told this story before. I'll never forget. 1995, first game of the season, Arkansas at SMU. Arkansas is driving for the – and SMU that year beat Arkansas in the season opener, and it was their only win of the year. Mm-hmm. And that's the game where – Arkansas was going back and forth on the quarterback. Robert Reed ends up starting, and Barry Lenny should have started. He's a senior. So Lenny brings him in at the end. They're down near the goal line, and Arkansas fumbles and loses the game to SMU. They later won the Western Division, you know, came back really well. Madre Hill on that team, really a good team, an overlooked team. And some of those guys ought to be in the Razorback Hall of Honor, and they're not. Like Steve Conley ought to be in there.
Yeah.
But nonetheless – I'll never forget walking out. Of course, you're down, and now I'm going to the team bus. And I overheard a fan saying, I am never going to another Arkansas game in my life.
Right, yes.
But I'll bet you before that season was over,
you bet.
I'll bet he was at an Arkansas game.
You bet.
So there's a hook. There's something deep within us. And I hate to say almost spiritual, because Jesus should be the center of our lives, but it almost grabs us like that, to where we're attracted to it. And even when things aren't going well, there's something that keeps pulling us back. And so now we're getting ready to start. I got to tell you, at that press conference yesterday, I like Ryan Silverfield. That's only the second time I've been in his presence.
I
like him.
Yeah.
I think he's doing the right things. And I didn't ask a question, but the question on my mind was, you know, Ryan, you would not have this job had Arkansas not had a bunch of turnovers last year. Because that's Arkansas could have won seven or eight games.
You bet.
What are you going to do to make sure that doesn't happen this year? But just about every press conference, he's talking about ball security.
Does it every time.
Every one. That gives me hope.
I did want to ask you, too, Rick, thanks to Edwards Food Giant, the meat people. They do have loaves.
They have loaves. They do have loaves. That's
the,
right.
They have meatloaf.
They have meatloaf.
And wasn't there a sandwich that was a sandwich loaf? What am I thinking of there, Rick?
I don't know. We have a place up here called Loaf and Joe's. Maybe you've been there.
So, Rick, now you can give, I think, a very unique perspective, and I did a little bit yesterday while I was down in Florida with Roger. Got the news about Billy Ray Smith Junior. He was my teammate, and I played with him for 2 years, and actually, you know, I started my sophomore year. I think either Burt Zinnemann or Milton Fields was hurt, and so I started the first four games of 82. So I shared the huddle with him. Mm. He got a chance to watch him, and I also played with Steve Atwater and Wayne Martin. So I got to play with and against a lot of great ones.
Great players.
But Billy Ray was definitely, Rick, one of the greats of all time. He was unblockable, still holds the tackle for loss record, yardage number. But also, too, I remember vividly, I remember watching you. He was such in demand, and you would line up interviews for him. And Billy Ray was so good with interviews. He was witty. He was sharp. I just want to give you a chance to reflect about Billy Ray on our show.
You know, it is really, and you stop. You just have to stop and think about what this summer has been like.
Oh, yeah.
For Razorback fans.
Right.
So Bobby Crockett passed away in May. Orlando Waters, he played in the early 90s, passed away. Bill Burnett, Jim Lindsay, and now Billy Ray Smith. Orlando Waters would be the youngest of that group.
Right.
But Billy Ray Smith, it just hits you, he's 64. Yeah. Okay, so Randy and I had him on, I'm going to say it's been 3 or 4 years, and I was hearing even then that he was struggling a little bit with dementia. And you're thinking at that age, because Billy Ray went out to San Diego and had an amazing career. The guy was in radio.
Yep.
He was in TV. I don't know. He must have worked at the same station with the woman he ends up marrying. They've been married since 1990, have a daughter, and just lived an amazing life. But you think about Jim Lindsay as one of the ultimate leaders on a football team. And he did it vocally. And Jim Lindsay could have been an evangelist. You know, he was just amazing, rose everybody to a different level. Billy Ray Smith did the same thing, but he did it in a different way. He was humorous, but he did it with a performance that, when you think about it, there wasn't anybody that could block him.
Right.
And he, in the story of his obituary, was when he said when Don Lindsay became defensive coordinator and lined him up in a stand-up position, he was unblockable. And that's why he still got all those records, because he just got turned loose, go tackle him. But I loved him because, he would actually come to our office. Yeah. Who have you got for me today?
Yep.
Now, what players do that? How many players did you know that, now, back then you couldn't duck interviews. We went and got you, and you did them. And the coaches encouraged that. There are a lot of players would just as soon never do an interview. And Billy Ray did them all. And I'll always remember the 1981 when Arkansas was getting ready to play Texas. And it's always a big game in Fayetteville. And let's see, Arkansas hadn't played Texas in Fayetteville in 77 would have been the last, or 70, yeah, right. 77, four right. years. And so he's on the phone with a Texas sports writer. And the guy asked him, you know, well, is there anything unusual this week about playing Texas? Billy Ray said, nope, normal week, nothing much. Said, oh, they burned down Old Main, but other than that, no, nothing much.
That's what he said.
You know, so just a great person, and it's just, it's hard for me, even as I see other people, you know, you get to my age, the obituaries are going to may have somebody, but you never expect Billy Ray Smith to be gone.
No, and he had come down. Roger, you need to remind me to post the video when we brought him into the Southwest Conference Hall of Fame. The Touchdown Club was doing that, and I remember picking up on it, Rick. I said it yesterday that I could. There was just a little something there. I thought, is there something going on there with BR? And sure enough, it is. And that's a sad thing, because he was such a sharp guy. But man, it's a beautiful thing. If you love defense, to watch somebody who's so great, it's hard to stop them on that side of the ball. And, of course, his dad was a legend, too. And, it's just, you know, matter of fact, now, Rick, you can probably name this in less than 5 seconds. Roger, if I said, Rick, tell me the four, I think there are only four, legit two-time All-Americans for the Razorbacks go in football.
Yeah, well, Lloyd Phillips was
the first one.
And he was one. Sean Andrews.
Two.
And I'm going to say Chuck Dykus. Chuck Dykus was a two-time. I think I saw that story.
I didn't know Dykus was.
I think I saw that story, and I think they omitted him as being a two-time.
I don't think I didn't know that. Two more. When Billy Ray's another one, one more. Nope.
No, Gary Anderson.
It's obvious. This is the obvious.
Well, Darren McFadden.
D-Mac.
Yeah, and they were all good. Yeah. I think Chuck Dykus made several All-America teams as a junior. I think they missed
David
that.
Basil?
No, I was not on there.
He was good. He was a good player.
Let me ask you this.
Unlike Marcus Elliott, he doesn't claim to be the greatest Razorback ever.
is Billy Ray junior, senior, the only father, son, All-American? Was Bill Ray senior and All-American or no? At
no,
Arkansas? He was
no.
Okay, okay.
No, he's a really good player, but he was a
great
tremendous
pro.
Player.
Bruce James?
Pro. Well, he was an All-American. He went a two-time.
1 year.
That's mm-hmm. good enough.
Yeah. But, yeah, Bill Ray Sr. had a better pro career than he did. Let me ask you this real quick before we let you go. I know we're running a little behind. So, it was Stats Norsworthy, who's over in Memphis. Yesterday it was Lance Allworth's birthday.
Really?
He's 86.
Wow.
And he was asking, is he the oldest living Razorback? And I said, no, I think there are others, but he's probably the most well-known.
Is he
the greatest when it comes to NFL career? Would you say he had the biggest NFL career of any former Razorback?
Well, I think that's a hard one to say.
Hall of Fame, because you got to measure the Hall of Fame, right? That's where you start, right?
Okay.
NFL Hall of Fame.
Okay, if he's in the NFL Hall of Fame, I don't know how many
Atwater, Hampton.
Atwater, Dan Hampton.
That's it.
Okay. Fred Williams had a long-time career with the Chicago Bears.
Okay.
And here's a guy that gets overlooked when you talk about Arkansas, and you shouldn't, because his nickname is Hog.
Yeah.
And that's Dave Hanner.
Yeah.
Played for all of those great Green Bay teams in the 60s.
Yeah.
He was a starting guard for the first two Super Bowl champions. I'd say that's pretty big impact.
Yeah, we don't talk about him enough. We don't.
They certainly should. For longevity, it was Joe Ferguson. Now, Joe was a very good NFL player.
Right.
And he's in the Buffalo. He's in the Buffalo Bills Hall of Honor.
Right.
Or Ring of Honor, whatever they have. So there have been some great ones, but yeah, if only three of them are in the Hall of Fame, you got to say. And as good as Allworth was, did he play? I guess Dallas won.
Yeah,
one
he did.
Super
he
Bowl.
Won once. He won one Super Bowl with Dallas, and he was in San Diego. But apparently his abilities as a receiver. He and who's our guy, Raj?
Hudson.
Don Hudson. Two of the greatest receivers in the history of the NFL came through Arkansas. One, Don Hudson.
Well, don't forget another one.
Who?
Because, when Hudson retired, he was the leading receiver in the NFL. You know who was number two?
Who?
Jim. I was ahead of the tip of my tongue.
Uh-oh.
From Pine Bluff, Arkansas, Jim Benson.
Is that right?
Benson. Okay. is the most overlooked player in Razorback history. He played in the 30s when people weren't throwing as much. And I remember meeting him, he had the biggest hands of any human being I've ever known. and he caught everything. So in the pros, he was phenomenal.
Huh.
And
Jim Benson, I'll be darned.
Yeah, and from Arkansas too. So now that's a guy that should be in the College Football Hall of Fame, but he's not.
Wow.
I don't know if you have to be a first-team All-America to do that, but I'll tell you how good he was. So I got to Arkansas in 1976. So I worked on the press guides, and you would look, and here's the top 10 receivers of all time at Arkansas. And all of them were from the 60s, maybe late 50s, except Jim Benson. He was still in the top 10.
How about
played
that?
In the 30s.
I need to look him up. Yeah, I need
I
to look him up.
We
yeah.
need to.
Our buddy down in Jefferson County, Jeff Gross, runs that Sports Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And there's so many great players that have come out of that area. So we'll have to look him up.
That's 90 years ago.
I know.
People have forgotten. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
people don't remember that.
I'm telling you, Don Hudson Bambi, Allworth, two of the most impactful, greatest receivers. Matter of fact, Don Hudson was the first receiver to go in the NFL Hall of Fame. We don't realize the greatness sometimes.
But
one for you. We're getting ready to have another gold jacket from Arkansas. Who's it going to be, Rick? It'll happen first ballot. It'll be first ballot. He'll be the next gold jacket out of Arkansas. Jason Peters. He'll be a first ballot guy.
He ought to be.
Yeah, I know.
Is he retired yet?
No, he's retired now.
He played a long time.
He did.
Now, there's a guy you got to worry a little bit about, because if you look at those five Razorbacks I just mentioned that have passed away since May, three of them had dementia.
Yep. Yep, it's a horrible disease. Horrible disease.
With Lindsey, I'm sure it was the collisions he took in football.
Yeah. Well, listen, Rick, great stuff as always. Thanks to Edwards Food Giant. And I just sent you a text message. We'll get with you on Hot Springs. I got an idea for you. So.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Hi, buddy.
Thanks, David.
Thanks, Rick.
Okay.
Have a good day.
Thanks, Roger.
Thank you, sir.
You too.
All right. Thanks again to Edwards Food Giant, our buddies all over the state of Arkansas. Appreciate them.